Today's perek in Tanakh is perek Yoshua Yud Dalet. And so what we learned yesterday was the beginning of a completely new section of the Sefer, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially defines the difference between the period of the Kivush of Yisrael as a nation and the continuing Kivush, which will go on after the 7 years of that special Kivush, which will go on each Shevet, which will eventually eliminate the pockets that are in their own territory and the areas outside of their territory that have not yet been conquered. And we went through enormous, enormous areas that was called Haaretz HaNisheret, as opposed to the Promised Land, the remaining land, which unfortunately has been far more prominent than the Promised Land over all of these years. And now, in this parak, begins the actual Sheva Shonim, that was the Nachala, but we're taken back here to see something that we thought had already been completed. We spoke earlier back in the Perek Yud Aleph and in other places about how it was the Yoshua, and remember I mentioned this is going to turn out to be prominently important later, how he had already been Neuchel the Anakim. And spoke about the Anakim in Hebron, and he had taken them over, and so on and so forth. The truth is, however, that hadn't happened yet. And we were still holding, right at the end of the period of the Sheva Shekafshu, and Lemaisa, that area was part of not the national war, but part of the Shvatim war. The transition between those two events is this perek, which describes an amazing interaction between Kalev ben Yefuneh and Yoshua, which, if we see it in its broadest terms, is one of the most striking prokim of closure in all of Tanakh. Starting back at the time of the Meraglim, there were two people that stood out, Yoshua and Kalev ben Yefuneh. We just saw in yesterday's parak that Yoshua has become old through the course of the wars of Kivush and has not really flourished to the promise that we initially thought he was going to be able to show, that Hu Yanchilein, as part of the totality of Eretz Yisrael, in which he would be able to galvanize all of Yisrael to go and to be Kevish as a Melchemet Melech, which he was, and get them to actually do the work. All the time in the background lurks the other person who was unique during the time of the Meraglim, and that was Kalev ben Yefuneh. Now we know that Kalev ben Yefuneh has a remarkable and unique relationship to Eretz Yisrael. What that unique relationship was, that as opposed to Yoshua, and this now makes the whole book shine out in a different way, as opposed to Yoshua, whose schus at the time of the Meraglim was the schus of Moshe. Because at the time of the Meraglim, it says that Moshe changed the name of Hoshea ben Nun and gave him the name Yoshua. Lemor ko Yoshiacha miatzat Meraglim, as Rashi points out. So that means that the entire keach, the transition of Moshe to Yoshua, and the way we see everything Yoshua doing is as a continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, and the way we see the Nachala as being a continuation of the Nachala of the Shvatim on Ever Hayarden Mizrocha, all of that is part of the keach of Moshe in Yoshua. It's not Yoshua's personal achievement. And indeed, when it comes to Yoshua, the moment he's no longer the Nar that he was to Moshe, he can no longer do what he needs to do. Kalev ben Yefuneh was left to face the Meraglim all on his own. The way that he went to face the Meraglim was by going to the Marat HaMachpelah. So instead of relating to the elements of Beit El and Yerushalayim and those things which were the Mokum of the Akedah, the Keach of Avram Avinu that was meant to be expressed ultimately in Eretz Yisrael, he went to the roots. And those roots are really roots that are underground. And there are rumors in Kabbalistic sources that the tefillahs have to first pass through the Marat HaMachpelah. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, we're talking to Yisrael in the Marat HaMachpelah. So that the getter of the connection of Eretz Yisrael to the Avot is not to be found in Mokom Sheet Palalu Avotai, which is Beit El, or Yerushalayim, but rather the Mokom of the Kvura of the Avos. This is why at the time of the Churban, we find that whole story of the Yisorus of the Aves at the Makam of their Kvura, Moshe Rabbeinu goes there to be Ma'ir of them. All of those kinds of midrashim point to the relationship of Kivrei Aves in Kiryat Arba, He was the only one that had that unique relationship. That saved him. He was able to stand up against the Meraglim, and it saved him in an unusual way. Because not only did it allow him not to fall into the Meraglim, but it also is part of how we identify him as a human being called Kolev. Because remarkably, I mean, the relationship of Kolev to Kelev is obvious, in that the Kelev represents loyalty, right? And that's because Kolev, it's entirely heart. So that the nature of Kolev, as he himself says, and as the Torah is made, and as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made on him, Ekev Ayolo Lev, he had a different kind of heart, Acheret. Which means that he was Echad Bepeve Echad Belev, as Rashi points out. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about him, this is what he says about himself, that it was Gashim Levavi, it all has to do with how I was in my heart, and the capability of playing two roles. I was one thing, and I acted in another thing. This is what makes him unique, and this is what allowed him to be the only one to speak up. Yeshua couldn't speak up. They were throwing rotten tomatoes at him. But the Meraglim believed that Kalev was part of them. So Mamela, they gave him the mic. Medrash says they stood him up on the stage and he was going to talk and tell everybody. Everybody, shh. And he starts shouting, V'chizelavada salonu ben Amram. This is not the worst thing that ben Amram did. Absolutely not. Took us out of Egypt like an idiot. Gave us the man like a meshugana. Split the yam. The guy's crazy. Huh? You know, so all of a sudden people are realizing what's going on over here. So this was a disaster, right? Because here we got this moment of this TV moment, and like he's tearing them apart before they get a chance to turn off the mic. There are cases of this actually that have happened on TV. It takes the people in the room a little bit of time before they realize what's going on. They don't turn on off the mic until it's too late. So this is what happens to Kalev. Now that connection to the Maris Samach Pele itself is essentially a connection to the lave of Yisro rather than to its external expressions like we see in Yerushalayim, which are always given to destruction. External things, no, they're there, they're not Zeicha. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The Maris Samach Pele is never touched. It's something that's unique. It's the underpinnings of Yisro. He's shy for those underpinnings. Remarkably, the underpinnings themselves take us all the way back to the underpinnings of Moshe himself, which is not generally recognized. So all along we've been talking about the idea of how Moshe Rabbeinu was manchil the Shvatim in Eivra Yarden. And now Yoshua has to continue being manchil in Eretz Yisrael. But what was Moshe manchil in Eivra Yarden? The Rephaim. It was specifically Sichon V'Og. That battle of Sichon V'Og, we know, is the one thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was terrified of. The only time HaKadosh Baruch Hu says don't be afraid is when it came to Og. So the Gemara says, why don't be afraid when it comes to Og of all people? Okay, so the Gemara, the simple explanation, the Gemara says, Og had the schus of Avram Avinu. He was Meshamish Avram Avinu. According to the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, he is Eliezer Eved Avram. He had a bris mila. He had the keyach of mila. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was convinced this guy could be the one thing that defeats him. In the most profound sense, in the Kabbalistic sense, Og is Moshe. Except that he is the counterpart of Moshe. He's a mirror image of Moshe. Because remember, Moshe shows up when the Anakim, the Rephaim, show up. The first place that Moshe is mentioned in the Torah, as the Gemara Chulin says, is immediately before the Mabul, where it says that the malachim that came down to earth, the Bnei Elohim, lakhuna lem nashim mikol asher bacharu, and because of that, they would bear him the marble, and at that moment it says, Yu yamav me'av esrim shana, b'shegamu basar, b'shegam is b'gematria Moshe, who indeed lived, this does point out the me'av esrim shana. So all of this is merumas, now at the beginning of the presence in the world of Anakim on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu on the other hand. The milchama that was mezaka Avram Avinu in Eretz Yisrael was the milchama against the Rifa'im. The Vayavo HaPalit, the only palit that came to call Avram Avinu, Ze'og, that was niflat from the Dor HaMabul, because he himself had to survive. All the way at the beginning, when Moshe Rabbeinu first appeared on earth, he managed to survive the Mabul. The Gemara goes through all the story, how he survived the Mabul, his chibur to Noach, to the Teva, and so on and so forth. He managed to survive the war against the Rifa'im. He was the one who had drawn Avram Avinu into the war, which then Avram Avinu won to take over all of the Arzot HaRefaim, as Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of the Devarim, this is Eretz Rephaim, this is Eretz Rephaim. All the Arzot HaRefaim were given to Avram Avinu, but this one was given to Avram's children, which are Esau. This was given to Avram's children, which is Midian. You can't have the whole thing, but this Eretz Rephaim, this is your Eretz Rephaim. That means that Eretz Yisrael relates fundamentally to Eretz Rephaim. The changeover of Eretz Rephaim to Eretz Yisrael occurs in the Marat HaMachpelah. Because the Marat HaMachpelah is initially Kiryat Arba, the Arba Anakim. Those Arba Anakim were the original ones of the Rephaim, as Chazal tell us. So they were Ma'anikim et Achama. They are replaced by the Arba Zugot, which is the opposite of Aikhulem Nashim Mikol Asher Pacharu. So the ones that were Zocha to be Ma'amid, the Yavot Ve'imaot, take over Marat HaMachpelah, and instead of the Arba Anakim, you now have Adam V'Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov Avinu and Leah. This become now the equivalent of the original Rephaim, which means that the underpinnings of Eretz Yisrael are in Hebron, which is the Lashon of Chibur, turning Kiryat Arba of the individual giants into Arba Zugot, which is no longer Kiryat Arba, but rather Hebron, the city. Kolev, therefore, has a completely different potential of Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael than Yoshua does. And being as this is the moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come and told Yoshua, your time is up in terms of being able to be Meirish Eretz Yisrael. Your koyach now is only in terms of Nachala. And that's what you have to spend the next 7 years doing, is Nachala. And this is the end. What happens now? It goes over to the Shvatim. Do the Shvatim have the keach of Nachala that's also linked to the essence of Eretz Yisrael? Or they're starting basically from zero? They have Kolev. And at this point, Kolev takes over, which in a way is threatening to Yoshua and needs to be handled with tremendous finesse, because basically you have to tell Yoshua in his face, you're no longer the guy. And you're either going to back me or we're going to have to do this without you. And this is why we begin with a very tense kind of face-off of these two kochos. And so as we begin Yud Dalet, we start talking about the beginning of the period of the Nachal of the Shvatim. Ve'ile asher nachalu v'nei Yisrael b'eretz Kina'an. And the following now, these are the cities that we're about to discuss. Until now we've been talking about kings. Now we're going to start talking about cities. These are the cities that B'nai Yisroel were Nachala, Asher Nichalu Otam. Look at the striking deposition over here of Yoshua. Elazar HaKohen V'Yoshua Binun V'Roshe Avot HaMatot B'nai Yisrael. Until now, we never heard anything about Elazar HaKohen. And yet, when originally Yoshua was given over the Keach, it was V'Lifnei Elazar HaKohen Ya'amod, so that he was put into a position of greater power. Chazal say that because of the zrizus of Yahushua and the way that he had been mishamish, Moshe Rabbeinu, we never found that he had to stand in front of Elazar HaKohen. All of a sudden, when it comes now to the period of Itnachalut, he's standing in front of Elazar, essentially. And now, Alpi Ruach HaKedesh is defined by Elazar HaKohen, who is now carrying the Urim V'Tumim. He's going to be Mechalek Eretz Yisrael in ways that will allow the Shvatim, each one, to get particularly what they need, together with the Rosh HaYavos, the Matis that we discussed in the Teras Meisha itself. Begoral Nachalatam, Kasher Tziva Adonai Biyad Moshe L'Tishat Amatot V'Chatzi Amateh. Now, wait a minute, says the Pasuk. Where do we get 9.5? You just said that we took off Moshe Rabbeinu, who did Natan, Ki Natan Moshe Nachalat Shnei Amatot V'Chatzi Amateh Me'ever L'Yardein. Aren't you bothered by this? Moshe Rabbeinu already took care of 2.5. You said before twice, Lalaviyim no natan nachalavetocha, that takes off 3.5. Last I heard, 3.5 and 8.5 equals 12, not 3.5 and 9.5. So how in the world did you get tishat amatot? Because ki ayu v'nei Yosef shnei matot. The reason is that when you take out Shevet Levi, b'nei Yosef become 2. Menashe v'Efrayim. That's exactly the point. Even though you'll say, wait a second. You start off by saying, Ela asher nachalu b'nei Yisrael, and you're measuring the nachala in terms of the following cities. But Levium also got cities. So isn't that the same thing? Because we're going to see that at the end, that each Shevet had to give cities, and these became now the 48 cities that are acting as Arei Miklat. These 42 cities are Meyuchad for the Levium. Then we have the Shesh Arei Miklat. Together, 48 cities. Isn't that a Nachala? No. Nothing was given as a Nachala, as a Chelek Levium in the actual land. This was basically Minhal land. And it was Ki'im Arim LaShevet. They were given these cities in which to live. Umigrisheihem LeMikneihem LeKinyanam, in the areas around the city, for their property and for their flocks. But this is not a Nachla in the land itself. Kasher Tzivadunai Et Moshe, Kenasu B'nei Yisrael, and indeed as that, in the end, that happened. Vayachalku Et Ha'aretz. Now, how did it start? Vayikshu b'nei Yehuda Yehoshua b'Gilgal. Vayachleku doesn't mean that they actually were cholek. It means that they were cholek the theory of the pieces, which are on the end going to be given out b'goral. It doesn't mean they take it as their cholek. They needed also to define the chalokim that would come up in the goral. How else are you going to be mechalek al b'goral? That had to be done al piruach hakedosh. Now we saw the tzivoy in the previous parak to do that. So what happens now? Vayikshu b'nei Yehuda Yehoshua. Whoa. Now that word vayikshu is a very, very loaded word. We saw that word before. We saw that was the word that Yehuda himself, these are the children of Yehuda. This was the word that Yehuda himself used when he walked over to Yosef, in which he sounded very peaceable on the surface, but was actually very threatening between the lines. So clearly the Vayikshu over here is a Hagasha for Pius on the surface. But every Gisha has in it elements, of course, as Milchama, elements of Tefillah. So it represents a profound spiritual, mental, and physical battle, if called upon to express itself across the board. So they go to Yehoshua. Now, they didn't speak. So obviously, why were they here? The back Kalev. If we're going to say Vayikshu b'nei Yehuda, we only see Vayomer elav Kalev ben Yefuneh. What was the Gisha of the b'nei Yehuda? So it's clear that b'nei Yehuda were there as a show of strength. Others, they weren't doing anything. So this approach to you, Yehoshua, is coming from Shevet Yehuda as a whole. Of course, we know of the tensions between Yehuda and Yosef. And this is now basically Yehuda facing down Yehoshua from Yosef. So, Vayomer elav Kalev ben Yefuneh HaKnizi. Ata yadata et hadavar shedibar Adonai Moshe ish Elohim al odotai v'al odotecha b'kadesh barnea. Now look, you remember that the two of us were specially singled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we were going to be the only ones that would survive. We survived that period. We came into Eretz Yisrael. The fact that it's both of us means that we have a common destiny. It's not just that we happened to be two of us that survived the Meraglim. This was a special tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe spoke about it. Ben Arba'im Shana Anochi, I was 40 years old at that time. B'shloach Moshe Eved Adonai Oti Mikadesh Barnea L'Ragelat Ha'aretz. I was 40 years old when I was sent to Kadesh Barnea, and I came back V'yashevato Davar Kasher Im Levavi, and I brought back the information that was held inside, in my heart. V'achai Asher Aluimi, all of the others that had come with me, Im Sivet Levaham, they melted the people's hearts. And how did they melt their hearts? They told them about the Anakim. Right? That's what we saw there. You've heard it said, as Moshe Rabbeinu says. You've heard it said, nobody can get rid of those kind of people. Yeah, well, now I want to talk about that. V'anochi mileti acharei Adonai Elohai. V'yishava Moshe b'yom olemor. And Moshe swore. Now, it really wasn't Moshe swearing. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shvua. Mamish. He means that I heard it over from Moshe. So it's as if it was speaking to me from the mouth of Moshe. Im lo ha'aretz asher darcha rag lecha ba, lecha tiye lenachala ulevanecha ad olam. That I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am going to give to Kalev ben Yefuneh the land that he walked on. And that's what I heard. And so it was the Haftakha, Yan Asher Haya Leva. Since he was had this other lev, therefore says Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he was Milei Acharai. Because of that, Vayamalei Acharai, I'm going to give him now Imlo this area itself, and that area was Lo Etinat Aretz Asher Darach. Lo Etinat Aretz was a reference to Kiryat Arba. So, Viata. Now, here's the bottom line. It's been 45 years since that day, and we never really understood the implications for the two of us. It was 38 years from that day till we came into Eretz Israel. It's been 7 years since we started these wars. I am now 85 years old. So I'm 85 years old today. This, here is where the Gemara learns that this has been 7 years since they were Nichlas Laaretz, because they were a total of 40 years. It was Bashanah Sheni that the whole Mice with the Baragun comes. It means that it's the end now. That 40th year was 38 years later. And that means that today, if I am 85, it means that we've been here for 7 years fighting. Now, as opposed to you, Odeni Hayom Chazak, I am today exactly as strong as I was on that day. Kasher biyom shelochati Moshe, kekochi az ukekochi ata. You don't see a single difference in me. I'm young. I'm vital. I am able to do anything. La milchama, but let's say tvelavo. Let's say tvelavo. That's dangerous words. So let's say tvelavo, of course, is leadership. And that's exactly the tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu used when he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu should appoint a leader that will be let say tifnei. Lavo, that's the lashon. And when Moshe Rabbeinu retires, he's lo chalod let say tifnei. So that means if Kalev is saying that I am strong for milchama, when he adds let say tifnei, he means and I'm strong for leadership. You aren't. So contrasting this with the previous parak is extremely dramatic. So here is Kalev basically saying, I want to take over. V'ata. You heard, it was on that very day that the challenge of the Anakim was raised. Remember? Ki Anakim Sham, Varim Gedolot Bitzrot, that's what the brothers that we went with, that's what they said. That's what melted the people away. And here you've been fighting for 7 years and you have not touched the Anakim, and that was the whole problem. And that's when I came back and I had been there, and this is where you failed. And this is what I want to do. Ulai Adonai Oti, maybe God will be with me. Oti is even stronger than E.T., right? Oti will be me. In other words, that Yad Hashem will be expressed in me. V'horashtim kasher diber Adonai. I will be the one who will be morish these anakim that everyone is so terrified. I'll get rid of them as Hashem promised us when we came into Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, Vayivarcheu Yoshua. Yoshua accepted this, not only accepted it, gave him his blessings. Vayitein et Chevron lechalev ben Yifulen lechala, and gave him Chevron. It doesn't mean that he gave him Chevron actually at all, because Chevron was an Ir Miklat. And an Ir Miklat cannot be owned by anybody. It was owned as Chalek v'Shvot. So obviously, as the Rishonim point out, this is cleared up only a little bit later on when we go through the cities. It stresses that Hebron territory was given to him, meaning all the area around Hebron. It's the Har, it's the Migrashe Hebron, and so on, but not the actual city of Hebron, which is part of the Ori Mikla. Which is fine, because that's not really where he had been. That's not what had given him the Keah, the city itself. If he was the one who was aimed, that's the Lashon of Meraglim. Arim Bitzorot Gedolot. Same thing is true about the Anakim. This is exactly what I want to tackle. And I'm the only one who can tackle it because I was there. You were there. You heard it. You didn't do anything about it. I can do something about it. And so Yoshua gave it to him. And indeed, Al-Kain Haitach Hevron Lechalev Ben Yifuneh Aknizi Lenachala Adayom Hazeh. Kolev Ben Yifuneh, the one who turned away. Why is he called Ben Yifuneh if he's Aknizi? This is the Gemara's Diyak. Is he Ben Knaz? Or is he Ben Yifuneh? This is the Gemara. He's called Ben Yifuneh because he was the one who was Panami Atzata Meraglim. That's how we're identifying him. This is the man who turned aside for the Atzata Meraglim and therefore was capable of being Manchil, the Anakim. Yan Asher Milei Acharei Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Exactly the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself used. Yan Asher Milei Acharei. V'shem Chevron Lefanim Kiryat Arba. And indeed, it used to be called Kiryat Arba, because it was originally Kiryat Arba. Al Shem Mahadam HaGadol Ba'anakimu. The greatest of the giants. And, say Chazal, who is really the greatest of the giants? Avram Avinu. So this is, and it analyzes Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, his giant steps were 3 mil at a time. Or going another round, they were 1 mil at a time. So in other words, the real Anak, in terms of the spirit, in terms of the ability to achieve, I don't know what it is that I started saying and I forgot to explain. That concept of Moshe Rabbeinu versus Og is the Og. If you take a look, Og is a malach who becomes an Isha Adama. Moshe Rabbeinu is Beshegamu Basar, who becomes an Isha Elohim. The two of them face off in the question of, is it indeed that which evolves from the earth, which is the greatest giant, as Avram Avinu Tainet, or is it that which comes from above that is the greatest giant? How do we view the nature of Moshe Bereishis? And all of Eretz Yisrael is in terms of that decision. Because Eretz Yisrael is meaningful because it's the earth, not because it's the sky. It's Yerushalayim Shel Mala, which becomes meaningful. As the Gemara points out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not walk into Yerushalayim Shel Mala, Lo Avo La'ir, unless Yerushalayim Shel Mata is built. So that means that Oret Shaktami Milchama, this is the same Oret Shaktami Milchama we had before. But before we claimed that Yehoshua had conquered Hebron and had gotten rid of the Anakim Asher Ba. Now we know how. It wasn't really Yehoshua. But since Yehoshua was Mevarech him and accepted that he would be the one, then in terms of the overall mastery, we view this as a continuation of Nachalas Yehoshua. Ki'ilu, since it's coming from the Keach HaMeraglim, Ki'ilu was built into the nature of the Yerusha, but it all comes back to the promise of Avram Avinu, who is Taman in the Maras HaMachpelah, who was the one who was Yerush originally, the Anakim, for which he becomes the Adam HaGadol Banakim, the Aretz Shakta Mimuchama. And now we can announce the truth that this was the Sheket that followed the war. That Sheket ultimately is attributable to the change from Kiryat Arba to Hebron.